Wait. Before we start, just want to make sure we're clear here. While this podcast talks about sobriety, mental health, and addiction, it is not meant to replace professional medical advice. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety.
I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're ex-sisters-in-law, brought together in marriage and bonded through our sobriety journey.
Join us as we talk sobriety, addiction, and everything in between. You're in for quite a ride. And our Substack is buzzing with amazing content, from creative mocktail recipes to insightful courses and reflective exercises. There is something for everyone. Don't miss out. It's a great way to add some extra joy and depth to your journey. Check it out. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety. I'm Sonia, and I'm with my sister in sobriety, Kathleen. Kathleen, how are you doing today?
I am really good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It is warm out. I have my power washer out. power washer is a symbol of my freedom.
It is.
Because I have this really nice deck and I would power wash it, but it's long and I can't power wash it in one go. And so I would leave the power washer out overnight and my ex would flip out. The power washer has to go away every night. And it was like, first of all, it's heavy. Second of all, it's literally like a water appliance. So I think it's okay if it gets like dew or like rain on it. And so now I just like, I love leaving it out and I love waking up and seeing it on my deck.
It's funny. You've sent me like, I think that maybe it was the first summer after you separated. You sent me like a picture of the power washer out.
And then last year I went to take the power washer out and I don't know if it's karma because I was like, oh, I'm gonna leave it out. It didn't start. And then I looked at a YouTube video and I like unscrewed it and a mouse ran out.
Oh, I remember that.
Or no, a dead mouse was in it, I think.
Yeah.
Anyways, I will be power. It was 80 degrees today, so. So, Kathleen, you know I've been doing this mini-series on sober dating, sex, and relationships, and I've had a bunch of our past guests on. I asked them all the same 10 questions, and it's been really interesting to talk about what dating looks like without alcohol. So today I thought we would flip the script a bit, and I want to go through the answers we've heard from our guests and share some of the standouts, and I want to hear your answers on all 10 questions. So we've heard everything from awkward first dates and green flags to sober sex and music playlists. So now it's your turn. So you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, Kathleen, what is your relationship status?
Well, I am in a long-term committed relationship, but I am not married.
Okay.
What is yours?
I am in a short-term relationship. I've been dating someone for 8 months. And before that, a series of, week-long disasters. And so, do you remember? I remember when you and my brother broke up and you started dating. But do you remember your first sober date? And tell us everything.
I actually think my first... Well, it depends how we define sober, because sober from alcohol, and I talked about this before, alcohol was not my vice, like it was not my thing. So I've been in a relationship for over 5 years. I stopped drinking alcohol like fully maybe 3 years ago. So I was a heavy drinker, but in the last 10 years or so, I wasn't. But I would say sober from like drugs is a different story. So I do remember being sober from drugs. I don't remember the exact first date, but I do remember that it was with your brother actually, because I didn't use any drugs at all. And I barely drank with him, but I still was a little bit drinking when we got together. And yeah, I think it was him that I wasn't using any drugs. Yeah.
Okay. So this brings up an interesting point. So when you were dating post-divorce, you weren't totally sober. So you would have a glass of wine like on a date. So when you...
Sometimes, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. So there was this period I remember. So you were fully sober. You were dating your partner now. and he still drank during this like period. What did that feel like when you would go out and he would like order, let's say,
What I noticed is actually like, and I think we're going to get to this question, but maybe I'll just talk about it now. When I met him, I met him on a dating site, and I had on the dating site that I don't drink, like do not drink, because I wasn't drinking. It wasn't that I would have called myself sober, and I never said I'm never going to have another drink again. I just was like, I don't drink, and I didn't want to be with someone who drank. But he saw that. He tells me like he saw that, and he was like, because he loves wine and he does drink. And so he was like, I wonder if I can be with someone who doesn't drink. So we did go on some dates at the beginning, and I noticed that I started drinking, and because he was drinking. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 dates in, I was like, this is not the life I want. Like, I hate it. I don't feel good drinking. So I actually told him, listen, I really don't drink and I don't want to drink. So I'm just not going to drink. And I was okay with him drinking. He is no longer an excessive drinker. I actually don't know if he ever was, but he doesn't drink to excess. I can't remember the last time I saw him drink a glass of wine. It's like been a long time. So it was fine. I found the challenge with him, it wasn't him specifically, it was more with people around him. So he has like a family that drinks, like their family events, there's quite a bit of drinking, and that I find really difficult.
Interesting. Okay. I thought, so in the answers we got, one that I found really interesting was Caitlin Henry, and she said she went on a date with her now ex-husband, and she was 90 days sober, and this guy ordered a sparkling rosé, which is her favorite drink.
Oh, no.
I'm like, that is cruel. Like, dude, just order like a light beer or something, something she would never drink. So that was...
What about your current boyfriend? Does he drink on your dates?
No, I mean, it's like once in a, I don't know, every 5-6 dates, he'll order a beer. We went on vacation, and maybe like every other night he would like order a beer, but nothing like interesting.
Not to excess,
No, not to excess, but he wants to try the NA beers because he did say sometimes like when it's like a hot day, he would like to have a cold beer, but he doesn't want to have the alcohol.
That's all Steve drinks now.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why I'm not buying it because I should.
No, apparently they're really good. They're apparently really good. I mean, I don't think that you necessarily need to drink them because I don't like.
Yeah, but another interesting answer I got was Ali Shapiro, who said when she first, so she struggles with food issues.
Yeah.
And so she would have a tough time on dates, like deciding what to eat.
Oh,
That's interesting too. And so I will say, like, I don't have necessarily like food issues and I do eat pretty healthy, but sometimes when I'm out, like, you know, I'll eat his fries, you know, or I'll get like the, I don't know, just get that feeling like I want something unhealthy. But it was just interesting that she struggled a lot with like what to order on first dates. Okay. So what is your go-to response when someone asks you, why don't you drink?
I think, again, for me, it's not like alcohol was not my thing that I had major issues with. But I think when people ask me why I don't drink, I just say I don't love the way it makes me feel. And that's true.
Do you come up against this around your boyfriend's family because they are kind of like heavier drinkers? Do you find they're like, hey, are you having a drink? Like my neighbors are like, all my neighbors are heavy drinkers. And I sometimes will get the comment from them like, are you still doing that sober thing? Like it's some experiment.
Yeah, no one has ever commented, but I have found like it just feels awkward sometimes because I'll go and it's like, And they're lovely. I just want to say his family is so lovely. And it's just drinking as part of their culture. It's just part of how they unwind. It's like what they do. And they definitely do it more at family events. I think like I've learned to now bring my own drink, like my own, because otherwise it's me drinking like just water. Because it'll be like water or juice boxes for the kids. And so I bring my own sparkling water but I will say that has been the toughest part for me in terms of sobriety and the family is they're British. And so sometimes I have found, I'm saying this because of my British clients too, like they won't necessarily address something head on. They'll like want to just glaze over it. Like, don't say anything about it. Don't make mention of it. That could be me just creating a story around what's happening. But yeah, I think it's just no one asks me. And then I just kind of drink my sparkling water or whatever I bring.
Yeah. I always say that too to people, like people don't care what you're drinking.
Yeah.
Especially in a bigger party style environment. I like Whitney Combs. When I talked to her, she says, drinking was a bad look on me. I do a version of that. And I do a version. Alita said, I've had enough drinks for 10 lifetimes. So I do a combination of that. I say like, you don't want to see me drunk.
Mm-hmm.
It was not pretty is usually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's actually how I feel is I have had enough drinks for 10 lifetimes. I feel that way. I feel like I don't feel FOMO about drinking.
No, I don't either. I don't either. I heard that when you had Caitlin on, she said like depending on the environment, but in public, she said it just wasn't working for me. And I think that's probably what I say also in public. It just wasn't working for me.
Yeah. I rarely will say, oh, I had a problem with drinking. I will say it if it's a one-on-one conversation and someone is asking, like, mm-hmm. you know, asks a follow-up question that I might. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is a green flag? These are funny questions because these are probably going to apply to my brother. What was a green flag you look for now that you wouldn't have noticed before?
Oh my gosh. There's so many green flags. Like, that I would notice now that I didn't notice before. And I think a couple of the guests that you had on said this too, but curiosity is a really big thing. The green flag that I really look for the most now is, gosh, this is so big, is the ability to regulate your emotions. And I'm not saying we need to be perfect at this because I'm certainly not all the time and it's a work in progress, but at least the desire to want to do something about that. And another green flag I look for is mental wellness. And again, not everyone is mentally well all the time, and that's okay. And believe me, I'm saying this from a therapist perspective, it is totally okay. And even I'm not sometimes. But again, it's like, do you have the tools to be able to cope with that when you're not feeling mentally well?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think my green flag is, so my boyfriend now, like he like remembers things and checks in. So like if I tell him when I'm like going to bed, I'll be like, oh, I have a bit of a headache. When he calls in the morning, he like his first thing is like, how do you feel?
That is really good. I actually think that is like a really, really good thing.
Yeah.
He's thoughtful in that way.
Yeah. I've been like trying to increase the weights on my upper body workouts. And so I will complain so much about how much it hurts. And so he checks in. He's like, how are your arms? Are they falling off? And so I do like, I like that he remembers things like that. Okay. What's a red flag? This is definitely going to apply to my brother, that you used to ignore, that's a deal breaker now.
Well, I mean, if I'm going to talk specifically about your brother on this one, I think it's like I've learned so much about what it means to be emotionally sober and So I would say this doesn't apply to my current partner because he is not like sober from anything. Like he doesn't abuse any substance. I would say it's, is there emotional sobriety that backs up physical sobriety? And I would also say love addiction is a really big red flag for me. So like excessive codependence. And I have this memory, we've talked about it before on the show, I'm pretty sure, about I left for Korea for 3 weeks. I guess I'd been dating your brother for maybe like 8 months and we were already living together. That's also a red flag, friends. That's a red flag for myself too. Yeah, sure was. Sure was a big red flag. But he could not cope with me being gone. Like could not at all cope with me being gone for 3 weeks. Was like, not just like, oh, I miss her, but was like, I can't function. And I think that was a really big red flag. That would be an absolute deal breaker for me now. What about you?
I think for me, a red flag is, and I'm going to like relate this directly to like my ex, is he was critical.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
So if like in the first like dates, like I get the impression that like this is, I mean, part of the reason I don't want to get married again or live with someone is because I don't want their opinion.
Yeah.
About a lot of things. And so, yeah, like unsolicited strong opinions about me, I think, is a bit of a like red flag. I know my ex used to be like, you should try to increase your workouts by 20 minutes a day. And it would drive me nuts. And so actually like my boyfriend now will ask like, oh, did you work out today? And he'll say it like really like calmly. And I'll be like, fuck off. Like, don't tell me what to do. But he's not telling me what to do. So that's a red flag. I think that I actually agree. Whitney Combs said this, white lies is a red flag. And so it's like even like white lies about like where you are or like what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like even little ones, right? Like it's because I would rather you like hurt my feelings or I would rather you be okay looking stupid than like saying a white lie. And, okay, so what is your go-to sober date activity?
Well, I am really into going hiking because I live in an area where there's lots of hiking. And I will say I have a kayak. So I'm going to add kayaking to my list of sober date activities. But I think anything outside, anything with sort of physical activity. I also think going to like art festivals and when, you know, it's the summertime or, you know, gotta love a good farmer's market. You and I love a good farmer's market. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, we've been actually, so like I was never very like, I'm maybe not that outdoorsy, but we've been like every like Saturday, we've been checking out a new like state park.
Oh, that's good.
Like going for a walk and taking, you know, one or all of the dogs. We actually go out for coffee or like tea a lot or a pastry or ice cream kind of stuff, which is not like the most interesting sober date activity. But Yeah, but I liked the answers we got. I liked concerts. Whitney said concerts, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I still really enjoy going out to dinner and ordering mocktails.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. Me too.
Yeah. So to me, like, going out to dinner can be a sober date activity.
Yeah.
I went, this is not like a date, but I went with my neighbors to like a, they called it Bubbles and Brushes. So like a paint and sip. And that was like really fun. And I think like doing that on a date would actually be kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't sip and it was fine. Like I didn't drink, like, but I ordered like a really cool tea and like, yeah. Okay. What is your advice for someone who's going on their first date without a drink?
I think that you have to have a plan. You know, we talk about this, like have a plan, have a good idea of what you want to do on the date. And I think they'll like really focus in on what's happening in the moment, to be honest. Like if you're spending your whole first date thinking about like, oh, is this person judging me for not drinking? Or like, is it not as fun because I'm not drinking? Like then you're putting all your focus behind that. So I think really focusing on who you're with and what you're doing and not the fact that you're not having a drink is what I would say.
Yeah, I think that I agree with like most of the answers I got, which is make sure you tell somebody before you go on a date that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go into like your life
for
story,
sure.
But like as if they know beforehand, it shouldn't be that awkward. Hillary Scheinbaum actually had a really interesting answer, which I would have never thought of, which is like use your support system,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is like if you're going on a date and you're getting nervous about, you know, then reach out to your like
mm-hmm.
support system. Okay, this is a good one. How much are you comfortable with your date slash partner drinking? And like, where are your limits?
So I am comfortable with my partner having a drink, maybe two, over the course of an evening, but not much more than that. I've actually never seen him, quote unquote, drunk. Like I've never, ever seen that in over 5 years I've been with him. So I think that any sort of like habitual drinking every day after work, like cracking open a beer, if we were living together, which we're not, but if we were living together, that would be a problem for me. But I think like a glass here, a glass of wine here and there doesn't bother me. What about you?
I like mine is a 2-drink maximum. More. Mm-hmm. And actually it's really interesting. Alita said this, or no, someone said this, that like lunch is like a good litmus test. And actually when I noticed that something was like, was when the guy that I was dating before, like ordered like a couple of Bloody Marys at lunch. And I was like, I don't know. I don't.
That's too much for me.
No. I think. And then I think too, with a partner, you have to think about, are you okay with them having like alcohol in the house? Like for me, like, I'm not really okay with you having alcohol in my house. Have it in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, yeah, Hillary said something really interesting, which is it's very like environmentally specific. So she's like, if you like meet somebody for a happy hour and they're like ripping shots on like a Tuesday night, like that's problematic. But if they're at a bachelor party and they're doing it, depends like on the environment. So I thought that was
that makes sense. Yeah.
I think I know the answer to this. Maybe who do you call after a first date to dish or after a fight with your partner?
Well, I don't go on first dates anymore, but I think it would be like a vent after my partner. So I would say my therapist or you or my best friend, Heather, who is also sober. So I would say the three of you. Is that who you thought I would say?
Yes. I thought like Heather.
Yes.
But I think it's different like with family, because it's like if you say something negative, like really negative about your partner, you worry that they're gonna like
yes
hold on to it. because they have like,
yes, 100%. I think that is the case for sure.
Yeah. I do. I talk to you about it. So I don't know if everyone really wants to know. I was trying to taper down my antidepressant. And so I knew that I was going to be having some weird feelings. And so I was so mad. It was like a Friday afternoon. I was so mad at my boyfriend for kind of nothing. And I texted you. I was like, do you think this is something or is this the antidepressant? And you're just like, antidepressant. I was like, oh, yeah. So it is good to, I mean, and not just because I was coming off of an antidepressant, but like, it's really good to check in with somebody and be like, is this a thing? Or am I just like in a weird mood about it? Like, I'm not going to use the word hormonal or anything like that, but like, is this a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because part of me thinks this may not be a thing, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And my body is telling me it's a thing. And so, yeah. Okay. If your love life had a playlist, what's the first track?
Oh my God. I don't know this answer.
Okay, I'll give you the answers we got. We got If We Were Vampires by Jason Isbell.
I love that song.
It's in our show notes for Whitney Combs' episode.
I actually sent that song to my partner early in the days of us dating. I love that song.
Okay, that's cute. Nautical Disaster for Alita, classic Canadian reference. Caitlin said That's So True by Gracie Abrams. Hillary was undecided, but leaning towards Taylor Swift. I actually think there's a lot of good Taylor Swift songs that, like, during my divorce, and I still like the idea of it isn't love, it isn't hate, it's just indifference.
Yes.
That's a goal of mine. I strive for that. I still don't have it with my ex where I'm indifferent. I would say I don't care.
That's
about
good.
Like, what he's doing day to day, but I'm not indifferent, if that makes sense. Just coming out of my divorce and I hadn't really started dating and your boyfriend gave me that, what was it, Dick Down in Nashville?
Yeah, wait a second. Didn't you give us that song?
No, I used the term, I need to get dicked down.
Oh, and he sent you that song.
Yes, he found the country song Dicked Down in Texas. I'm actually going to check if that was what it was. Dicked Down in Dallas by Trey Lewis. I made a breakup playlist when I was going through my divorce. Yeah, I had a lot of like Selena Gomez.
Oh yeah, me too, during my breakup, there, for sure. And
yeah, that was like really empowering.
I would say like, my breakup song was Shake It Out by Florence and the Machine. And I still listen to that song sometimes, not for breakup, but if I'm like needing a little bit of empowerment, I listen to that song. It's probably my favorite song.
Okay. I'm with you. Fill in the blank. I used to think love was blank. Now I know it's blank.
Let me think about this for a second. Well, one of mine is actually similar to one of our guests that you had, which is Whitney. And I think it's, I used to think love was a fairy tale. And now I know it is choice. It is about commitment. It's about putting in the effort and the work. And people often ask me, what is the work? But it's not just inevitable, like it is a choice. And a friend of mine, I have to say, she got married and in her vows, they wrote their own vows and it was, for as long as we both shall choose. I decided in that minute that she told me, like if I were to ever get married again, that would be part of my vows too, because it's really about like, I wake up every day and choose my partner and I wake up every day and I choose, like I choose my behavior. Sometimes I don't show up as my best self. And then I need to choose, how am I going to show up here? So I would say I used to think love was a fairy tale and now I know it's not.
I love that. There's another, we had Samantha Barnes and she said something really interesting, which was, she's like, I used to think love was 50-50. And now I know it's like, it's 80-20. It's 70-30. Yeah. It's like, whatever you can give and the other person fills you up, and then whatever they can give, and if they're under 50, you fill them up. And so I thought that was really interesting. I would say like all of the answers were like, I used to think it was crazy fireworks, but now I realize it's work and choice and calm and feeling of home. And I'm just editing this episode we did with Daphne Poisner from Fern Matchmaking. And she said that romantic love is not unconditional.
That's right.
It is conditional. Like, it's conditional on someone showing up and being kind to you and being treated the way you want. Hearing it a second time, like, really hit me that, because I think that's was the goal, right? Unconditional love. But it's not. Maybe a parent to a child is unconditional, but I think in a partnership, it's not.
No, it's not. And I talk to lots of my clients about this because I think we're trained, like we grow up to, we're conditioned to think it is unconditional and that it's this fairy tale. And once you find that person, that's it. It is unconditional. But adult love just, it is not. It is not unconditional. It is conditional. And that's okay. That's okay.
I mean, I think that like the way I felt about marriage was like, it doesn't matter what happens now, like we're staying married. And so I'm starting to realize like, no, that can sometimes be like a dangerous way to think about it. If you're not getting your needs met for like an extended period of time. But, yeah. The matchmakers have some good advice. There's some other good stuff in there. She said something which everyone always says the opposite of, which is you should have expectations for a date.
For like, sure.
Don't go in with no expectations. And I think that she means something different. Not like you should be like planning your life with somebody you've never met, but you should have expectations. And if they don't meet them, then this is not the person.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you for answering my 10 questions. You answered all of them, even the love life, having a playlist one.
Yes, so sort of. It was more instead of the love life, but it was my divorce.
Yeah.
So I did answer it.
Well, thanks so much, Colleen. I think that this series was super fun, and I would love to do something like this again.
I think that we should. I think it's great that you did it. And I love hearing all the different answers from some of our past guests. So thank you all for joining us on Sisters in Sobriety, and we will see you next week.
This was Sisters in Sobriety.
Thank you for listening and being with us today.
If you want to learn more about sobriety and meet your community, find us at sistersinsobriety.substack.com.
Are you a sister in sobriety? Then reach out on social media. We'd love to hear from you.
If you're feeling generous, leave us 5 stars and a review and follow us wherever you listen.
You'll never miss an episode. Until next time.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.